This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
Hello, welcome to Geeks Out, All the Spoils. This is first inaugural podcast where we will review and have spoils in it. So be wary, we have spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
So if you don't want any spoilers for Dr. Sleep or The Shining, turn off now.
Not so worried about The Shining, because that's like a few years old now. I think it's possibly older than me. That's old.
1977, the
it's
book
the same
came
age
out.
As me.
I was worried. 1980, the movie came out.
Right, okay, so I am the same age as the book.
There we go, good to know.
That's good. So we are actually reviewing this also in our live podcast, which you'll also be pretty close to this one. But in this one, we're taking hats off, we're throwing things and just telling you everything about it.
So, no holes barred.
Yes. So if you want a spoiler-free one, head over to our usual podcast and you'll be able to get a spoiler-free review. Well, mostly spoiler-free.
We try hard.
We fail, but we try. So you've seen Dr. Sleep?
Yes.
Oh, I'm Clayton Wimshurst.
And I'm Tamsin.
We knew it this, apparently. Tamsin, you've seen it?
Yes, I've seen it. And you've seen it as well.
I've seen it and I've read it. So the two things. I love Stephen King, one of my favourite authors, so I read a lot of Stephen King. Right now I'm reading The Institute, which is a novel that feels it could very much fit into this same universe as Dr. Sleep and The Shining.
Yeah, and as we're talking about universe, this is very much I felt you had to have watched The Shining to understand some of the background to this, because it linked in with the beginning being a bit more about how he'd grown up from just after what happened in The Shining, but I don't think it gave you that in-depth knowledge of what his father was like during The Shining.
Definitely not. This is not a sequel to the book, The Shining. This is definitely a sequel to the movie, and there's some significant changes from the book to the movie, mostly around the ending, which is the same thing that happened in The Shining as well, significant changes to the ending. So you need to definitely watch The Shining. So if you've never seen The Shining, don't go to Dr. Sleep and go, oh, but I didn't understand, because we're just going to laugh at you.
Yep. Pre-warning, big
absolutely.
Warning. Which I think has contributed to why it hasn't actually succeeded as much as it should have.
Which is a real surprise, because I actually think it's a great movie. My review on air gave it 8 out of 10.
Yep.
And so I just think people need to see it, because it's great. And The Shining is one of those such iconic films. And I think this holds up quality-wise. I don't think it lets it down.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Look, Shining is so iconic visually, Kubrick gave it. But story-wise, you know, it's a Stephen King, and this follows on. Visually, there were some really nice long shots over grand sort of landscapes and things like that. But story-wise, it definitely held the Stephen King. A lot of characters, but only sort of 5 main characters, so you didn't get distracted by other plots and other people. It was mainly the 5, which was really, really strong. And one of the things we were talking about was whether or not it was too long.
Definitely. So I think it was, because I felt like at the end where he's going through the hotel and walking through, waking it up, we probably could have got that in about a minute and a half rather than the probably 7 to 10 minutes that it takes on screen.
Especially, we know in The Shining it's a scary hotel. They're there to kill him. They want, you know, they want to suck him dry and all that kind of jazz. But no, we had to get it spelled out that it's scary. There's scary things that happen.
And the lights come on their own.
I was like, oh, great sensor system. They've installed, upgraded.
Yeah, but this did lead to a scene which I thought was good. You didn't. I don't think you felt quite the same as I did. He goes into the bar, which is a very commonly themed thing throughout this Shining, and has a chat to Lloyd, who is the bartender from the original Shining, but Lloyd looks like his father. And very well done, too, on the actor who played the role.
See, maybe I was really hoping Jack would be there. Mr. Nicholson, for all those, you know, who aren't on first name basis. And the fact, I understand, you know, Jack and Ewan in the same movie probably cost too much. But I think that kind of disappointed me. He looked all right. He gave the same stigma Jack would have given it.
Yeah.
But I still think it was a bit, it was like closure for him, and I don't think Ewan's character needed closure.
In the book, you get closure in a much different way from the father character. He actually helps to kill the True Knot leader, Rose the Hat. So it's sort of done in a different way, I think a much better way, actually. What the issue I thought was that I felt like the character needed to acknowledge that he was his father. It didn't need to be a stand-in in being both Lloyd and the father at the same time.
Yeah, because at the same time he's going, no, I'm Lloyd. I think you've got me confused. And
yeah.
It's like, hang on, mate. We know exactly who you are.
It could have actually been a proper conversation between father and son, which would have made a whole more sense. Mm. So from that point of view, I think it was not as strong as it could have been, but I was okay with it. But I think you were a bit meh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they continued on the very much through the whole movie. They really go on about his AA and his alcoholic issues, and I don't think it played too much of a big part to a movie that, I don't know, that didn't need it.
Yeah. It's a huge part of the novel as well, that his alcoholism. And it's certainly with a point that leads him up to coming to this town and living in a town and actually settling down and getting control of his alcoholism. And the book kind of does that in a much more spread out way. It's not as compressed, so it actually feels a bit more natural to the novel. And the scene where he's with the cocaine and the woman, where he...
And the baby.
And, you know, that sort of has a lot more resonance, I think, in the book than it does in the movie. So
yeah, that seemed glossed over, and then all of a sudden Toby was there, and it didn't really... Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realise that she was dead in the... like.
Yeah, no, how was that? I thought he was getting connection. So you reckon that they haven't found us yet, and the baby rolling over, it was definitely the character.
Interpret it. Like, okay, yeah. Saying, oh, they haven't found us yet, whatever else, meaning that both the mother and the child are dead. I just thought she'd vomited in the bed.
Same.
But, you know, apparently she was dead. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think he thought that either. I thought it was a very... And the fact he did nothing with it.
Hmm. Yeah, exactly. He tried to steal the cash, got talked out of it, left the cash. He takes the cash in the book.
Oh,
so okay. He doesn't leave it there. I can't remember if she lives or dies in the book, but I'm sure it's totally relevant. So,
I guess it's to maybe show that he's, like, because he's stopped drinking, his, you know, connections opening up again.
Yeah. And now once he gets to that point where he's not drinking and he's sort of finding his connection to the world, he finds Abra, which is, interestingly, in the book, it's actually his relative. Abra is... his father's illegitimate daughter's child. So,
wow. Okay. Yeah. I guess his age being 40 years later, he's in his mid-40s and that kind of, so it couldn't be related any other way.
Yeah. So that's, it's kind of that sort of thing. And then she moves on to being like, not related in this, which it is not, wasn't necessary.
Yeah. But I liked it how she kind of did go, we're related, your Uncle Dan.
Yeah.
That was cute.
But in the book, it's actually, he is her uncle.
Yeah.
Well,
true.
Uncle. So, yeah, I think that, you know, makes a lot of sense in the book. Probably took too long to explain in the movie. That was already long enough.
Yeah, very true. What can we leave out? Oh, yeah. She can just call him Uncle Dan because she's a smart kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Your dad had an affair and this is the child. And then, it's meant to be the same seed of
telepathic. But I like it wasn't just telepathic. They could do so many things, and that really, really was extended on to my pleasure of like the different things of telekinesis, actually sending your body on another item with the teddy bear, being able to haunt someone else's body like you did in the van.
Yeah,
that was just, I love those types, and I really could see that coming up to a whole genre on its own.
Absolutely, and I think this is this could be an expanded universe. You could actually quite happily have a Shining-based TV series just talking about people with powers. Yeah. And I think you could actually feed in Firestarter into that as well.
Oh,
and
definitely.
And like I said, this book, The Institute, could all be part of that. So, yeah.
And you wonder if he is kind of doing that, because like we said, you know, even though the endings are different to Dr. Sleep, the movie, but they do still leave it open. There's that conversation at the end where they say there is more of us out there, and that really, really leaves it open.
And who we're talking about there is the True Knot. So yes. They are the body that goes around eating people with psychokinetic abilities.
Sucking the smoke.
Steam.
Steam. I'm obsessed with smoke. Sorry, people. Yeah. Steam.
Stop smoking. So the steam, which is the essence of people that they draw out of people with powers.
Yeah.
And
that have the shining.
That have the shining or the shinning. You don't want to get sued. It's a really strange group of people, because you don't really know what to make of them in both the book and the movie. No idea what to make of these people. They're semi-immortal beings who can take essence from other people to make keep themselves young, and in the movie they
don't just take. That's yeah. It's probably one of, like, I'm glad they didn't show what she was actually doing, but seeing the child's face when they're cutting and putting more pain in and that mm-hmm. was just, I'm like,
pain purifies steam.
Pain purifies steam and afraidness, scared,
fear.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Purifies steam.
Yeah.
That was quite impressive.
Yeah, and yeah, there's a few more kills in the book as well, which they don't show on screen probably quite mercifully. The True Knot is a strange... When I first read the book, I was thinking, there's no way you could make this into a movie because it would just come off so hokey. And I don't think it did, actually. I was quite happy
hokey
with...
Hokey, like...
We just come off so twee and naff. And
oh, naff. Well, yeah. I did. I was watching her going, how has she survived? Because obviously she's many years old. They talked about the granddad. He'd seen. It was like they talked about him seeing the chariots or something. So,
yeah.
So it was obvious, you know, he'd been around almost probably before Christ.
Yep.
And so I wondered how old she was. But she'd actually, even though she was wearing that kind of hippie, she looked like she was probably from the 70s-ish.
Yeah, and just had those leadership qualities that got her to the head of the family.
Yeah.
So it's hard to tell exactly where she was from. And I think if it was a TV series that was doing all this, you could have that backstory of her, and that would be really amazing to see as well.
Mm.
But there's not a huge amount of backstory in the book either, from memory.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think for any of them. We just found out sort of snippets at points, but none of, like, there was 7 of them?
Yes.
Because I was counting them. When there was 7 to kill and they missed one, I'm like, hang on, where's he gone? And, of course, Crow.
Yeah.
Being Crow.
Crow Daddy.
Crow Daddy. Gone.
There's heaps more in the book as well. It's not quite as limited a group. So, but it's definitely a group that is failing. And at one point, they consume steam from a young boy and get measles from him. So they get the steam-based measles, and that actually starts killing them off.
Oh, right.
But in this one, it's just kind of talking about age and not having enough access to steam and all that sort of stuff. So, and that's what kills them off. So, and Rose the Hat says to Annie, Snakebite Annie,
yes,
you know, eat well, live long. So, yeah. And it's about how much steam you consume.
Yeah. And she was only saying, you know, you could live an extra 70 or 80 years kind of thing. So it was implying that they could only really live to about 200.
But I think with a heavier access to steam, they could actually make that much more infinite.
Infinite. Yeah, definitely. I love the different names that they had for them. And, you know, it was a shame, like, because you kind of wanted to go for them because Snakebite Annie was, you know, she was 15 and killing off the old dirty bastards.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
All power to her. And she wasn't killing them. She was just making them pay for their sins. So
torturing them.
Torturing them, giving them a scar to remember by, to have it explained to their families, you know, why have you got this snake bite thing on your cheek?
Because I like little girls.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So Yeah, it was. I think, you know, you could really feel for Snakebite Annie's character, but later on, she, you know, helps kill children. So how is she better than the people she was?
Yeah,
it's a complicated mess. Really.
I know it got really got re- yeah got you really you wanted to go for them, and then when they killed that boy, you're just like, you know,
yeah.
Shallow grave, just awful.
It was awful. Horrible. I really liked Abra's strength through the film. Like, she was such a power throughout it, even though she was quite young. She would have been 13-ish, I think.
Yeah, easily. 13, if not 14, give or take. But, yeah, the whole way, she was the one who stood up, even though, you know, everyone's saying, no, back off, go away. Mm. She's like, no, we have to do this. We have to, you know, take charge and control them and get them before they get us, basically.
And she has quite a nice power kick as well. So, yeah, I really like to see more of her in the future. So I hope King decides to write another novel. Or...
Oh, she's definitely someone who could take a whole on a whole covenant of or whatever we call the grouping of the team.
So have an army behind her.
Them all up
and take out the rest of the True Knot.
Yeah, exactly. And the way she could transfer, she could probably pick up the, you know, kinesis of everyone and bring them all together and, you know, become, you know, hunters.
Yeah, she's a bit of a radio, ability to transmit. Look, I really enjoyed the movie. I think that it gave really good homage to the book, but still was a sequel much more to the original movie. And even, like, again, they've majorly changed the ending, which, if you don't know, the Shining ending was dramatically changed from the book. In the book of the Shining, the whole place blows up and burns down, which is the ending of this one. So, and I think that's why King was actually a lot happier with this, because he finally got his ending from the Shining, but just in the next book.
I was surprised when you say King didn't like The Shining. Yeah. So it was just the ending, or it was
other things as well. It's real in the original movie. You really feel like Danny has a really good connection with his father, which I never think comes through with Jack Nicholson's Jack Torrance. And you feel like he hates his child from the beginning. Well, not hates, but like is not a big fan of his child from the beginning.
He's not a big fan of his family.
Well, exactly. But in the book, he's like, you have a real strong connection, and it's that significant change from that really shows you what the Overlook is doing to him. Whereas in the movie, it's kind of like the Overlook just gives him a little tiny push.
Yeah. He's already halfway out the door.
Yeah.
With his drinking and his drinking Jack. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, his dad had stopped drinking by the time he got to the Overlook, but then the Overlook made him drink again. So, as it would anyone, to be honest. so hell full of ghosts.
Yes, definitely.
And then in this movie, to see the father again, and then the boilers actually eventually blow up, which they're supposed to do in the original. Mm. That sort of brings things around and comes back. But in the book, Rose gets pushed off a cliff with the help of Jack and the friend who died, who I've currently got a mental blank on, and also Dan all help push
Rose
off a cliff to her death.
Rose the Hat. Because I always think I just can't imagine them dying just from falling off a cliff.
Depends on the cliff.
Yeah, true. they seem pretty immortal. Like, when her hand got stuck in that drawer.
Wow.
I was like, look away. No, but I've got to watch. But I can't. But I can. Oh.
That was great. I love that scene.
It's skin. Mm. Yeah, skin ripping off bone.
Mm-hmm. And I like that they referred to her mind as a cathedral, Rose the Hat.
Yes.
And then you actually go and see her looking through an old church, basically, for records or whatever else. So.
That was... I wanted a couple more plays on that, like, or to bring something out, like, to go... I expected when she went through the files to go, I know her weakness, it's blah, 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 you know, but...
Teletubbies.
The purple one.
Definitely the purple one. I hope that people go out and see this film. If you haven't seen it and you're listening to this, go see it anyway. We spoiled the whole thing, but you'll get something out of it still.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think there's gaps and we've missed pieces, but visually, again, it's really clever how it's put together. You and McGregor, I mean...
Oh. I'd forgotten how hot he is.
Same. Like, even as a drunk.
Yeah, and just like when he, especially once he cleaned up, he just like, oh wow, you're a yum. So I haven't seen him in anything majorly without being in a robe so for a while. So.
Yeah, this was a really pleasant, a serious yet challenging kind of moody character, which you just don't get enough of Ewan doing that.
No, and what they have done in this film is they haven't given it any levity at all. It is a very serious film. There's no moment where everything feels a bit lighter and whatever else.
And even when she does, so even when Abs is going over to him going, oh, you know, he's freaking out because there's a young girl standing talking to an older man, and she's like, you're my uncle. And it kind of has a joke about it, but then it just goes back to serious again.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like a major joke. It just feels like this is actually how we're dealing with this. And,
yeah.
But he's right. In this day and age, a older man, especially of a different skin color, sitting next to the girl, it looks suspicious. So, like, you're not going to think, well, that's her father.
Mm.
Although it could be. There's no reason why not.
No.
But
they solved it really quickly and really cleverly to make a point, which was nice. I thought a nice sort of homage to, you know, this is the way the world thinks, but she's really bloody smart kid.
Yeah.
And you get that all the way through.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Clever.
Well, thank you for listening to our first ever, what are we calling it? I keep forgetting.
All the spoils. All the spoils.
Yeah, got carried away.
We pillage and plunder the reviews and give you all the spoils.
We draw out all that we can. If Geeks Out is on Monday nights at 8 p.m. live, and you can catch our podcasts at joy.org.au/geeksout. This has been Clayton Wimshurst
and Tamsin.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.